Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. God, speak to me, through me, and perhaps also in spite of me, that the words that are spoken and the words that are heard today may be completely from you. Amen. Repent and believe in the good news, Jesus says. Two simple instructions, but instructions that will change everything. In these seven short verses in Mark, we find both a description and a model of discipleship. It begins with Jesus spelling it out plainly as he enters Galilee and begins his ministry. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. In many ways, these words are a summary of his entire ministry, both his words and his actions. They tell us of the good news he comes to proclaim and to effect, and they tell us how we are to respond. Repent and believe. That's what Jesus calls us to do, and we see the model for how to do that in those next five verses, in the call and the response of those four disciples, the four fishermen. They illustrate for us what discipleship looks like. We meet Simon and Andrew first, casting a net into the sea. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Immediately they left their whole lives, everything they knew and had, to follow Jesus into the unknown. And then we find James and John, also fishermen. They're mending their nets, and when Jesus calls to them, they too leave those nets behind. Mark says that they leave their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they follow. It seems this was immediate for them too, to turn away from what they know and to follow Jesus. And that's what it means to repent, to turn away from something, to go in the other direction. This text doesn't make it clear if these men knew Jesus before this encounter, if they had seen him or heard about him. We're not sure if they were aware of his mission or what he might be calling them to. But what we know is that they turned from their lives, their families, their livelihood, probably some friends and possessions. They turned from the life they knew to go a new way with Jesus. They took on a new identity as disciples. In the NRSV translation and most others, Jesus calls Simon and Andrew to follow, and he promises to make them fish for people. It's presumably the same promise for James and John, since they're fishermen too, but that doesn't actually seem to be the best translation of what Jesus said to them. A better translation would seem to be, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Jesus didn't ask them to do something. He asked them to be something. He didn't ask them to add another task to their lives. He called them to a whole new way of being. He didn't call them to fish for people. He called them to become fishers of people, a whole new identity. You see, he didn't ask them to fit discipleship in around their jobs, their social lives, their sports leagues, their hobbies. He didn't ask them to try to pencil in an hour a week in their already busy schedules. Jesus called them to a new life, a new identity as followers. He called them to make that their primary self and to recognize everything else in relation to what it meant to be a disciple. Discipleship is an identity, not a task. Jesus called them to that identity, and they immediately followed. Mark makes it sound like there was no hesitation. They didn't ask questions or stop to get everything in order. In the instant of the call, they responded. They turned from what they had known, and they followed Jesus. It seems to have happened in a moment, the decision to turn and to follow. But their journey of following did not all happen in that moment. In fact, although they left in a moment, their story, their call as disciples, was just beginning. They still had much learning to do, much growing and journeying, and much stumbling, too. Ahead of them at that moment of decision were many failures and disappointments, many times that they would fail Jesus, but they would keep following. They would keep striving for this new way of life, and they would keep believing. They knew that becoming a faithful disciple of Christ took a single moment, that moment of decision when they turned from their old life. But it also took a lifetime. They immediately left their nets, but they committed to a forever of following. And that's what it looks like to make discipleship an identity rather than a task. That's what it means to be fishers of people instead of to simply fish for people as our schedules allow. As we watch these four disciples move through the Gospel of Mark, we see what it looks like to really make discipleship our identity, to commit to it for a lifetime. They follow Jesus, and they find themselves amazed at his teachings. They see him rebuke unclean spirits, cleanse lepers, and heal the sick. Jesus gets lost from them, and they have to find him again, and all that happens just in chapter 1. We hear at the beginning of this text that John the Baptist has already been arrested for proclaiming the message about Jesus. And the disciples know that their lives are unfolding in the shadow of that arrest and his coming execution. But still, they choose this life. They choose this identity, not just in that moment, but for the long haul. Immediately, they choose the forever of following Christ. They repent in that moment, and then they believe as they live out their decision day after day after day. As one commentator said, to repent is to reverse the direction we are going, and to believe is to move with full speed and reckless abandon in the new direction. And that's exactly what Simon and Andrew and James and John did. They turned from their old lives, and they headed full speed into life with Jesus as one of his disciples. Discipleship happens in both a moment and a lifetime. This account of Jesus calling disciples has been viewed as a model for the calling of all Christians in all times and all places. Most of us are not fishermen, and we may not be called to literally walk away from our homes, jobs, and families. In fact, most of us are probably not called to that, although some may be. We may not be called away from our boats and nets. Most of us are called to stay where we are, at least in a physical sense. But we are called to serve God there, in our jobs and our homes, in our families and with our friends. We are all called to this journey of discipleship. We are called to walk with Jesus, even if we do that from home. And we are all called to turn from our old lives and embrace this new way of Christ. These fishermen, they show us how to do that. They show us how to be on the road with Jesus from whatever place we are called to be, whether that is where we are right now or somewhere new. Simon and Andrew, James and John, they show us that discipleship is not a task, but an identity, a whole new way of life. That it's not just something we fit around our other interests, but it shapes every part of our lives and it defines who we are. When Jesus called Simon and Andrew, they didn't follow him for an hour and then head back home. Sorry, Jesus, we've got some other things to do now, but don't worry, we'll be back next week at the same time. And we'll fish for people again then. For them, the call to Jesus took priority. Disciples of Christ became who they were, rather than simply what they did. Now, we will all have other things in our lives. We will continue to have interests and relationships. Most people will have careers outside of the church. But the point is that being a disciple should shape how you live in all of those places. It should define how you spend your time and your money. It should influence your relationships. It should be an identity, not a task. And then they show us that discipleship starts with that moment of decision, the choice to follow. And that moment is followed by many, many more moments of making that same decision, not just in thought, but in word and deed. Discipleship is a journey that lasts a lifetime. If we get so caught up in that moment of choosing to follow Christ, we forget to nurture the long-standing commitment. We forget to try to constantly become better disciples. Following Christ is always both now and for the long haul, a moment and a lifetime, immediately and forever. Just as Jesus calls us, to repent in the moment, and then to do it completely by spending a lifetime learning to follow Jesus more closely, to believe enough to keep following. Repent and believe. Now, this doesn't mean we will always get it right. As far as we can tell, the disciples weren't all that different from us. They were ordinary people living ordinary lives. They certainly were not perfect, and they messed up a lot. They misunderstood Jesus. They failed him. They denied him. And sometimes they did not follow. And as crazy as that sounds, this is good news. In Jewish culture, those who hoped to become disciples took the initiative in finding a master, a teacher. But Jesus broke that norm. He came and called the disciples. And the disciples were not called by virtue of their own talents or excellences. They were not called because they were that good. Remember what Jesus said at the beginning of this text. He said, repent and believe in the good news, but before that, he proclaimed, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven has come near. You see, the reign of God that Jesus proclaimed is not the product of discipleship. It is the reason for it. We don't become fishers of people to meet the quota that will bring about the reign of God, but because that reign of God has already come near. We don't need to repent to usher in the time of redemption. We repent because the time of redemption is already at hand. And we don't follow Jesus to try to find him, but because he has already come and called us. In all of this, God takes the initiative. It doesn't rely on the disciples or on us. And thank God for that. Because like the disciples, we fail Jesus sometimes. We constantly need forgiveness. But nevertheless, if we choose to follow, we will slowly be transformed into disciples. When we commit to this new identity, we slowly learn to follow Jesus more closely. Like the disciples, we commit to a lifetime of this journey. We decide to follow in a moment and in many moments that follow. And then we keep following forever. The disciples made that commitment. And even when they failed, they kept turning back to Jesus. They kept committing their lives to being a disciple. They kept following. And they could do that because Christ went before them, calling them to follow. And Christ went beside them every step of the way. God's grace has been working within us long before we knew, preparing us for this life of discipleship, enabling us to follow. And all of this is a response to the proclamation that God's kingdom is at hand. It is because God is working in the world and in us. And because of that, we are called to repent and believe, to make this our whole identity. Because of that, we are called to follow Jesus immediately, forever. Amen.